This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستهديه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله اللهم صلِّ وسلِّم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلِّم اللهم تسليمًا كثيرًا أما بعد. All praise due to Allah and His praise and blessings be upon our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his family, his companions, and his followers until the Day of Judgment. I bear witness that Allah is the only one worthy of worship, and Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his last and final messenger. My dear brothers and sisters, and before I start my khutbah, I just want to say that as you see, this section of the masjid is dedicated. Whereas my left-hand side here is dedicated for people who are receive their vaccination. And what we're trying to increase the number of people on this side if they are getting their vaccination, so that we expand that a little bit more and more and more. And I hope, inshallah, our community, by mid of Ramadan or so, that we will have most of us vaccinated so we don't need to leave a space. So please, if you have a concern, if you're vaccinated, because I know some of you guys took vaccination for a while, but yet don't go there. So if you have a concern about why not to go there, let us know. So we will put a better system for you. But so please let us know about that, because if we keep seeing this as way less than that, I don't know how we're going to go about that in the future. I would love in Ramadan to see us praying next to each other without any space if the overwhelming and the vast majority of people are vaccinated, alhamdulillah. And according to science and the doctors who advise us, it is a safe protocol that we have right here. Same thing with the sisters as well. Ramadan is coming soon. Inshallah ta'ala, expected most likely to be Tuesday, will be the first day of Ramadan. We will be sighting the moon in the night of Monday, which is Sunday night. And we will basically also encourage people to look for the moon on Monday night as well at Maghrib. Because it's a sunnah to sight the moon. And one of the things that I want to say today in my khutbah, when Ramadan comes, well, there is a very important concept or an act of worship that we are all very familiar with when it comes to the month of Ramadan besides Siyam, which is reading Quran. And I love that. And I would love from us to make that commitment right now that we will increase our relationship with the Quran. Some people, I don't like it when some people said, oh, this is hypocrisy. Why only in Ramadan you know the Quran? You know, alhamdulillah, that they know Quran Ramadan. What do you want them to abandon Quran Ramadan and non-Ramadan? I'm happy that people reconnect with the Quran in Ramadan and read in Ramadan and take advantage of it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not for nothing when He said to us, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم, شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن. It's in the month of Ramadan where the Quran was sent down. وفي مسند الإمام أحمد أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم said that صحف إبراهيم, the scripture of Ibrahim, was actually given to Ibrahim in the first day of Ramadan. في أول ليلة في رمضان. And in Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم, also in the same hadith, he said in the first night, Ibrahim received the scripture. And Musa received the Torah on the 6th of Ramadan. And in Isa عليه السلام received Al-Injil, first time he received it, was in the 13th of Ramadan, لثلاثة عشر من رمضان. وَنَبِيُّنَا مُحَمَّدٍ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ Al-Qur'an revealed to him on the 24th of Ramadan. The first revelation came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Every year Jibreel come in the month of Ramadan and review the whole entire Qur'an with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whatever Qur'an he received so far. So the first year, second year, third year, you imagine every year the chapters that they review together is much bigger. And also in the end of the Prophet's life, the last year of his life, he reviewed Al-Quran with him twice, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as Al-Bukhari reported. Kan al-Salaf, as Ibn Rajab rahimahullah, gave a lot of attention to the recitation of the Quran during the month of Ramadan. Kanu yaqra'un al-Quran fi al-Salati wa ghayriha. They used to read Quran in the Salah and outside the Salah. They would make khatm al-Quran during the Salah and outside the Salah. وكانت عائشة رضي الله عنها, she read in the Mus'haf after Fajr until the sun comes up. Then she will close the Mus'haf and she will go take a nap afterwards, رضي الله عنها وأرضاها. وكانوا يقولون إنما رمضان هو شهر القرآن وإطعام الطعام. Ramadan is the month of reading and reciting the Quran and feeding the poor, helping the needy, offering charity to those who are in need of it. And al-ulama rahimahumullah, like Malik and others, they will even stop their classes in teaching hadith and sunnah, and they will only focus on reciting the Quran and reviewing the Quran. Today, you know, I will give you two tips. One, the first one is very short, and the second one is the focus of my khutbah, which is how something tips that will help you to connect to the Quran much, much better during this year, inshallah ta'ala. When it comes to the recitation, the tip that I have for you, you will not be able to be serious about reciting the Quran in Ramadan if you don't now, and I mean that literally, now you have a plan for a specific time every day that when you're gonna read Quran. If you're going to just leave it for whenever, it's not going to work. But from now you have to say, you know what? I have 30 minutes before I go to bed. I will read Quran. I will listen to the Quran. If I don't read Arabic, I will listen to the Arabic and I will look at the English translation. And I will go with that. You know, if I read Quran, alhamdulillah, I will read every day after Salat al-Fajr, after Dhuhr, after each Salah, whatever you want to do. But from now, have a specific time and commit to that time. And any extra time that you have, that's a bonus. But you have from now to decide when you're going to be every day reading the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And for our sisters, who maybe during their menses, you still read the Quran, having a menses should not stop you from reciting the Quran, should not stop you from listening to the Quran, should not stop you from holding even the English translation, at least with the Arabic text to read from it, even though I personally believe that even holding the Mus'haf during your menses is permissible. And there is no proof to forbid you from such thing. But the point is, do not let a day pass by during this month without reading Al-Quran. That's the tip in regard to the recitation. The other tip in regard to enjoying the Quran, and I mean by that being connected with the book of Allah. لأن الله سبحانه وتعالى يقول كتاب أنزلناه إليك مبارك ليدبروا آياته. We have sent this blessed book to you, Ya Muhammad, and to all of you, O Muslims, so you will reflect upon the verses of the Quran. The reflections, it means that personal connection between you and the book of Allah. أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ أَمْ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبٍ أَقْفَالُهَا. Why they don't? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, then do they not reflect upon the Quran? And the reason people don't reflect upon the Quran, because their hearts are sealed. يعني they are, you know, they have no interest. And the tip that I have for you, and it is an interesting one, but if you apply it, and I know it's hard to apply it every time, but at least get used to it, which is, don't just let things go. And I mean by that, when you read a verse and there is a word that you don't understand, or a phrase that you don't understand, or it didn't make sense to you, I couldn't understand what's the point of this phrase, or why the structure of the sentence like that, why that story saying that, why this is in the middle. When you have this why and you have this question, don't just ignore it and move on. No, go and investigate. Go and learn. And alhamdulillah, today, you know, in your cell phone, you can download, you know, or if you read in the Arabic for text, غريب القرآن ومفردات القرآن. All these words that you're not familiar with what it means, you can easily look it up. Even some of the masahib they have on the side, some of the way to understand what this word. So if you read, for example, Zamharira, what Zamharira means, don't just let it go. How many times you have read قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ. What's al-falaq? How many times that you read النَّفَّاثَاتِ فِي الْعُقَدِ. What is النَّفَّاثَاتِ فِي الْعُقَدِ? Don't just let it go. Don't slide it. No. لا تمشيها. لا تقول خلاص بس النفاثات النفاثات. No. Go and look what that word means and write it down if you have to. فوميها. What's فوميها? إيش فوميها? واحد that day, he told me, الفوم سهلة, الفول. I said, أنت واكل فول, هذا المشكلة. He said, no, فوميها يعني الثوم, the garlic. You know, just don't let things في مخمصة. What's مخمصة? When you read in the Quran, غير متجانف, إيش متجانف? What this word means? من الجوارح مكلبين. What's مكلبين? So whenever you read a word that you know, لا فارض ولا بكر عوان, what's that? What these descriptions are? Because some of these words we're not familiar with. إن الدار الآخرة لهي دار الحيوان. Oh, I don't know that we're gonna have a zoo in the day of judgment. حيوان إيش الحيوان? You don't know? Ask, learn, and alhamdulillah, access. You have a lot of access to knowledge. حيوان يعني دار الحياة. الحيوان سمي حيوانا لأن فيه حياة بخلاف الجماد الميت الذي لا يتحرك. فإذا تحرك الحيوان سموه حيوان من الحياة, فهي دار الحياة الأبدية. So what my point is, you know, and this may be this particular point, a lot of people who are familiar with the Arabic language have to pay attention to it more than the one who read the translation, because the translation gives you the meaning already. And you don't need, sometimes you'll find those who read the translation understand even the text better than some of the people who read that Arabic text who don't understand these words. But there is another thing that you need to ask yourself also. When you read the verse and there is something interesting in the verse and something making you alert, why is this? What that exactly means? Why the order is this way? Just don't ignore that, you know, light bulb comes on your head. And be careful. When I say raising these questions, I don't mean that you object or you make your own tafsir or your own interpretation of the Quran. No, it means that you go back and learn. This is an opportunity for you to go and take a simple book of tafsir like the summary of Ibn Kathir, rahimahullah, available in English, available in Arabic. And you ask, You know, Urwah ibn Zubayr, a great tabi'i, he read this verse in the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِنَّ الصَّفَا وَالْمَرْوَةَ مِنْ شَعَائِرِ اللَّهِ فَمَنْ حَجَّ الْبَيْتَ أَوِ اعْتَمَرَ فَلَا جُنَاحَ عَلَيْهِ أَنْ يَطَّوَّفَ بِهِمَا وَمَنْ تَطَوَّعَ خَيْرًا فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ شَاكِرٌ عَلِيمٌ. Hear the verse. Indeed, the hills of Safa and Al-Marwa are among the symbols of Allah. So whoever performs the Hajj, pilgrims, or minor pilgrims, Umrah, let them, it is no harm for them to go between Safa and Marwa. So Urwa ibn Zubayr said, At-sa'i bin Safa and Marwa is what? Mubah. What can yufti be had? He said, it's okay. It is optional. Because Allah said, there is no harm for you to go between. There is no harm. It means you can do it and you can leave it. When Aisha radiallahu anha, his aunt, heard that, قالت أخطأت, you're wrong. That's not what the verse means. Then he said, what it means? Because I've been giving this fatwa. And what did that mean? What that means when Allah, لا جناح عليه. She said, no. This is because these two hills used to have two idols on the top of them in the past. And the top of As-Safa, there is Iyal, Isaf. And in Al-Marwa, Naila. Two idols, two basically idols that used to be worshipped by the people in the Arab at that time. So when they used to go between As-Safa and Al-Marwa, they didn't do it because it was from the practice of Ibrahim. They did it as a form of respect to these two idols that are on the top of these two hills. So when Islam came and tell them you're going to still continue go between the mountains, the Sahaba said, yes, but we don't do any shirk. How can we go between the two mountains? And the only thing in their heads that going between the two mountains was for honoring the idols. And Allah said, no, it is not because of the idols. It is because of reviving the sunnah of Ibrahim alayhi salam and his wife Hajar when she went between the two. So there's no harm, even though this is in the past, used to be the practice of the kuffar, but today it's the practice of the Muslimin. So even though it was something wrong in the past, but now we're doing it in the right way, for the right reason. So that's what the verse means. It's nothing wrong. He went and he asked. So whenever you pass by a verse, I'll give you an example. So you kind of, you know, understand exactly what we're talking about here. One of the verses that, it's interesting, and I always read this verse, and I can guarantee you, a lot of you read these verses like me, maybe also they have the same questions that I have. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us about the story of the Uzair, who passed by a village and he said, how can Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this village is destroyed, it and can Allah bring it back to life? Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when this man went to a cave or place, he slept, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put him into death for how long? 100 years. Then he resurrected him. You know the story. So when he resurrected him, Allah told him, how long you been? Then he said, a day, half a day. He said, you've been dead for 100 years. Shock, that's right? Now Allah will show and demonstrate his what? His power. Then he said, look at your food and your drink. So it's exactly the same way you left it. And look there to your donkey. It's dissolved by the earth. My question is, when Allah told him, look at your food, it's there, it's as fresh as you got it. Is that a proof that he died for 100 years? Having his food so fresh and look, that actually supports what he claimed, that it is only a day or a half a day. Isn't it? You got the point? And when Allah told him, okay, look at the fruit and the drink, it's so fresh. So this is came right after Allah telling him, you've been 100 years dead. So the question I always ask myself, what's the point? This is, does not really help the point that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was trying to make to him, which is you've been for 100 years dead. And now it just brought you back. It should have been, I would think, because absolutely that question is not to object to Allah, it's to discover how ignorant I am. Be careful. This question is not to question God. It's to discover how limited you are. So for me, my limited knowledge will say, it should have started. Look at how dead your donkey is, and I'm bringing it back. Why would you start with this food? And what do? You go back to the books of tafsir. And you will find, the first smart person in the world. There's a lot of smart people before you raise these questions and answer these questions that you have in your head. And I will guarantee you, whatever you come up with, if it is a legit, if it's something makes sense, you will find that this is something been addressed by a scholar before. You will be amazed. And personally, I never raised a question about something unless I found an answer in the books of tafsir. And people talked about it before. Modern or old scholars. So you'll find the ulama rahimahullah talking. They said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, actually, when he told them, look at your food and your drink first, is to prepare him for the next. Just to calm him down a little bit. He said, look, isn't that your food, your drink? Yes. Now look to the other side and see how your donkey, which is show you how long you've been dead, this completely been dissolved by the earth. So the ulama said that, in other words, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants him to calm down and to start the conversation with him. Then after that, he said to him, look to that donkey and how. There is another point the ulama said also. Now this man will eat the food and the drink, will consume the drink and will eat the food, that's right? And he will use that donkey to travel on, that's right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not make, because if the food was dissolved, it will be dissolved by the bacteria, by whatever, insects, by earth, whatever came and ate it. Can you imagine if Allah bring this back to him, in front of him, and bring whatever that food back to him, if it's a meat or if it is a fruit, you bring it back to the way it was. Seeing that process, question, would you touch that food and eat it? You'll be grossed out. When you see it reverse in front of you, you might not desire that food anymore. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala want that man to have the food and to enjoy it. And not to think about that. But when it comes to the donkey, he revival it to him, it's okay, you can ride it. It's actually a miracle. Also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala want to demonstrate to him two things. Another point the ulama said in that order. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when you say, he put him to death for 100 years, then he resurrected him. The question will be, can my body be preserved for 100 years like that? Yes, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can preserve the food and the drink, which is will be dissolved in no time, much faster than your body, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can preserve your body as well fresh for 100 years and whatever amount of years. And if your body dissolved by the earth like the donkey, he can bring it back. So either way, he's more capable. He's capable of keeping it as it is, and he's capable of returning back the way it was. It's amazing meanings. Now the way I read this verse is completely different than before. It's that connection with the Quran. But if I just let it go, I never think about it. One of the questions I always ask myself in Surah Taha, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to Musa, وَمَا تِلْكَ بِيَمِينُكَ يَا مُوسَى What is in your hand, ya Musa? I ask myself, it's interesting, what's in your hand, ya Musa? What Musa says? It is my cane that I use. I used to what? Lean on it. And with it, beat down branches for my sheep, and I have other issues for it. I ask myself, Allah did not ask him about all this. He just asked him, what is in your hand? The answer you would assume, it's a cane. But he didn't say that. He said, it is my cane and what I use it for. And the question is, why even the question, first of all? Why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asking him what's in your hand? Al-ulama rahimahullah said, it is because of the surprise. Can you imagine Musa alayhi salam all of a sudden hears Allah talking to him? That's so big deal. It's like when I meet you and I talk to you and somebody, I remember, just to give you an example of how, just to make it you can picture the concept. Sometimes you see somebody you care for so much, and I can't believe I'm talking to this person. And this person, if he tells you directly the order, you will be kind of shocked. But if you start the conversation, hey, what's this? You know, where are you from? Just short talk, we call this, right? Just to break that ice. What do you have in your hand? He said, this is my stick. And also, the ulama said, there is another reason why he asked him what is this in his hand. Because this cane soon will turn to a snake. So he wants him to be very aware that this is a cane and this is my cane that I'm so familiar with. It's not another cane or something else different than, no, this is the one I've been using all these years and I know what I'm using for. And all of a sudden it turned to a snake. But if this conversation didn't take place in the beginning and the cane turned to snake, he might thought it is something else. Maybe it is a cane that other than mine. Or I didn't even notice the cane before. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala want to build that. It's amazing. When you start looking into the Quran and ask yourself these questions, your relationship with the Quran, I guarantee you, will be completely different. Why would Allah use this example? Why Allah said that this dunya is like water? What's the connection? And start trying to explore that. The recipe for disaster when it comes to the tadabbur al-Quran is when you read the Quran and your goal is just the end. You know, just, I don't care. Who cares? I don't have time to do that. You just slide it. لذلك كان يقول لا تقرأ القرآن تهزه هز الشعر. It's just not like you're just passing by. Try at least to have some of, I'm not sure, I know we cannot do that all the time. But at least in Ramadan, make sure that at least once a week, maybe once a day, maybe some of the, try, if there is something got your attention, don't let it go. Just go investigate. And I'll be more than happy to answer your question if you ever want. أقول ما سمعتم أستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروا. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده وبعد. My dear brothers and sisters, there is many points, and I remember there is a whole entire khutbah I give about reflections in the Quran and how to, the art of reflection in the Quran, and even I have a course online, if you're ever interested to take that, you can do as well, you know, about the art of reflection. There are certain points that you can follow and guidelines you can have that will help you. Even if you don't speak a single word in Arabic, you still can connect, because the miracle of the Quran is not limited to the wording, it is also the wording and the meanings of the Quran. Prepare yourself for Ramadan, and Al-Quran needs from us to give it a full attention. Al-Quran requires from us to give it full respect. Honoring Al-Quran is not just by kissing it, its cover. Honoring Al-Quran is not like by, carrying and putting it in a higher place. That's excellent and important. But you know what's more important than that? When Al-Quran is so high in our heart. When the Quran is so respected in our life, when the Quran we feel that we live by it, and we need it, and when the day goes by and I didn't read anything from it, I feel like there is something seriously missing in my life. And unfortunately, the Quran is not today the central of attention, even into the level of the people that we think of them that they are the best in the society and the community. It's not the central of our attention. People distracted from the thing that the Quran speaks about the most. Look at our interest. Look at what we focus on today. And look at what Al-Quran is focusing on today. Compare. Look at what the Quran always talk about and what we always talk about. There should be an alignment between us and the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because those who live in this dunya, according to the book of Allah, in Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, give it very simple. He said, it's like a rope. You start from here, you end here. Here is al-Jannah. And that rope will take you to al-Jannah. You leave it, you're lost. If you ever saw some of these documentary when people go in caves, There's a rope, that's right. You hold onto the rope. Or some people dive inside. Okay, there is a rope. If you leave it, you're lost. You don't know how to get out. That's the same thing. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give that zeal and interest and love for His book. And to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the ability to understand it, to comprehend it, to reflect upon these verses, to memorize it, to love it, to live by it, to honor it. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the ability to recite the Qur'an day and night. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give that love for His book to us and to our family members. Allahumma habib ilayna al-imana wa zayinhu fi qulubina wa qulubi awladina wa dhurriyatina wa ahlina wa karrih ilayna wa ilayhim al-kufra wal-fusuqa wal-isyan. Allahumma aj'al al-Qur'ana rabi'a qulubina. Allahumma aj'alhu jala'a humumina. Allahumma aj'alhu qa'idan lana ila jannatik. Allahumma anfa'na bi kitabik. Allahumma anfa'na bi kitabik wa massikna bihi ila an nalqaka wa anta radin 'anna. Wa sallallahumma wa sallim 'ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ballighna Allahumma Ramadan. اللهم تقبل منا وبلغنا اللهم تقبل منا وبلغنا يا أرحم الراحمين وقوموا للصلاة يرحمني ويرحمكم الله